Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's VIP Studio Visit. The Captain will be back starting the first week of May. To order your tickets before they are all sold out, go to HowieCarShow.com and click on the VIP tab. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Okay, guys, so let's get right into this. I am guilty of reporting on all of the negative news, and I don't blame myself. I mean, Dr. Fauci's out there every day, and he's making a good case for it. CNN and MSNBC, everyone is telling us that the end is near, we are doomed, and it just seems like everywhere you turn, there's depressing news, and that's just all we got, but it's not. And occasionally, I stumble upon a different story. And I have to tell you guys about this man who I'm about to interview, because when I first got the call from his son, I was told that this man, his name is James Ngargiola, that he survived COVID and he's 95 years old. And that was kind of the headline that his son told me. And that is a headline. I mean, this disease or this virus really does affect older people. So whenever you hear of an older person combating the disease, you're happy and it gives you hope. Then I read some background on James and I realized there's a lot more to this story than 95-year-old beats COVID. James, thank you so much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Hi, thanks, Grace.
James, first of all, I think a part of your story that my audience would be very interested in hearing is about your experience in World War II. You're a World War II vet. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was one of the smallest Marines they ever had, and but I was always seen to be with a bunch of guys like John Wayne, who or James Arness, who would encourage me to hang in there and keep doing what we do as Marines, and I was able to stay with them. Don't know why, but there was, I think, God watched over me throughout the whole 95 years. I've had ups and downs, but I've had one of the best and yet happiest lives of most men will ever have. I wish everybody could have had the life I've had. I've had a great life.
Now, James, you were actually a witness to that famous moment where the U.S. flag was raised during the Battle of Iwo Jima. Can you tell people a little bit about that?
I didn't actually see it go up, but we were standing on the deck of a ship, myself and some other Marines and some sailors who were members of the crew. And one of the sailors piped up and said, "They just raised the flag on top of Mount Suribachi." And so we all had to have a look at it because we couldn't see it with our naked eye. But with his binoculars, we all got a look and kind of brought a lump to your throat when you saw that. And we were kind of speechless, to say the least. That flag developed a new meaning to me that day that I've carried throughout the rest of my life. I honor that flag. What that flag represents is more than most people can really understand.
Now, James, I do have to ask you about the rest of your life once you got home, because something in your story I found really interesting is that you weren't able to finish your education, and you were given an honorary degree from Brockton High. But in 1995, you actually went back to school. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, I was 70 years old. My daughter came in. She was going to Bridgewater State College, and she came home one day with an application and put it in front of me. She said, sign this. I said, sign what? She says, it's an application to go to Bridgewater State College. I says, I'm 75 and you're out of your mind. But after an argument to get rid of her, I signed it because I didn't have a high school diploma. And they'll never accept me, but they did accept me. So I got my diploma about a year and a half before I got my degree from college. Not many people could say that.
Yeah, it's really incredible. And I just want to say here, I'm speaking with James Ngargiola. He has 11 children, 25 grandchildren, and 24 great-grandchildren. And he was honored in Bridgewater, I believe. Right, James?
East Bridgewater.
And something I wanted to ask you about was you have fought lung cancer before, and then you got COVID-19. When you got this diagnosis and you see what's going on in the news and you see how it's all doom and gloom, did you immediately know that you could fight this, or were you a little bit skeptical?
Actually, it was three cancers. I had skin cancer on my earlobe. I had cancer in my neck, which they had to operate, take it out. And then I had cancer of both lungs. And about 4 months later came the COVID attack on America, which I didn't get till about a year later, this past year, this past February. I came down with COVID, and I had pneumonia at the same time.
Oh, my God.
Those same two lungs that had cancer in them a year earlier. So it's been quite a struggle, and I'm laying in a hospital, and there was a young fireman who, during part-time, off-duty fireman, worked in the emergency room at the hospital, and I don't know if he came, what fire department he came from, and I wish I knew his name, because he encouraged me to fight this COVID thing, and he seemed to pay more attention to me than others. I don't know if he really did or not, but he was with me a lot, and like I treating me like maybe I'm a relative or something. He realized my background of being a veteran of World War II, and I think that might have drew him to me. And then my daughter called me, and my daughter is a nurse. And she has held the hand of many people who were about to leave this world. And she seemed to have a gift for that. And I told her, you won't be able to come here and hold my hand, but I'm about to leave this world. And she said, don't you dare do this to me, Daddy. And this is the same girl that sat on my knee when she was little, put her arms around my neck and give me a kiss on the cheek and say, I love you, Daddy. And if no daddy has ever felt that, he has missed the best thing in his life. And so I told her, I sang her a song, about not giving up. And and I didn't give up. She encouraged me to say, between her and that fireman, I had to fight this thing. And I don't know how I fought it, but it must have been God himself reaching down and taking hold of me. Because only God could have actually healed me from this thing.
James, one of the selectmen at one of the many ceremonies that you're honored at says, I think if we all had some of the strength and dedication that Jim has, we'd all be better people. It's really just incredible what you have survived, and I know your family is very proud. I'm sure your daughter especially, but your whole family is very proud of you. I know we spoke with your son, and he was incredibly proud of you. He kept saying to me, you've never talked to anybody like him before and after. And you know what, James? I have never gotten choked up on the radio yet. I've only been doing this for a couple months, but you're the first person to have me do that. You're an incredible man. We thank you so much for your service. We wish you all of the best. And
well, there's one thing. I'd like to be on with you again sometime.
You will be.
Because I am an ultra-conservative, and I think you would like the things I have to say, because I grew up in the 30s, and I remember them well. And I remember things that happened in the 30s that would put a shame to Americans today, as especially the president we have. They thought Hoover was bad. This guy, well, no, I won't go into it. But the America is not the same America that I grew up in during the Great Depression, they called it. They were happier times. People smiled more in those days. See the difference between the 1930s and now, and I could tell you a lot more if someday if you'd like to have me on.
James, we will definitely have you back. We'll definitely have you back. And I actually think about that often. I think as the greatest generation, especially, they went through so much and they seem to have a better appreciation for the freedom and the beauty of this country because they had to fight for it. And now there seems to be a lot of people who are very happy to tell you how much they hate this country and they've never had to do anything to fight for that freedom. James, we thank you so much for fighting for our freedom and for joining the show. And I wish you all the best with your health. We will definitely have you on again soon. James Ingargiola, he's a 95-year-old Marine Corps vet. He's also a survivor of cancer, and he beat COVID. An all-around wonderful American. Thank you so much for joining the show, sir.
Thank you, Grace. My mother's name was Grace, too, by the way. So I honor that name.
Thank you, James. We hope to have you back on again soon. What a sweetheart. I mean, the story about his daughter telling him you can't give up. And you think about all of the people who did have to say goodbye to parents or loved ones and weren't able to go into that hospital. It's just heartbreaking. But I'm glad we got to bring some good news to the Grace Curley Show. We spent a lot of time, you know, poking fun at people, but it's nice to bring some positivity. The Biden administration's policies and executive orders are already causing some economic disturbance. Tax laws are going to change. Your tax burden on selling real estate will grow. Don't get caught flat-footed and squander the equity in your real estate built up over years or even decades. Sell today with JJ Manning. For over 40 years, JJ Manning has been the leading auction house in New England. Whether it's high-end homes, estates, or commercial properties throughout New England, JJ Manning can get your property sold fast and contingency free. Now, there's a big reason why Mass Lawyers Weekly has voted JJ Manning number one for 4 consecutive years in a row. And I'm going to tell you that big reason, and you're going to understand it right when I say it. They have a huge following of bidders who pay cash. Cash is king. When you sell with the broker, you pay the commission, but in an auction, the buyer pays. These are treacherous times in the real estate market. You want to have someone on your side. You want to have someone fighting for you and helping you get the best deal possible. Some sectors are at all-time highs. Others are losing ground. Don't wait until Joe Biden destroys this sector of the economy before you cash out. To learn more on how to get your property sold fast, contact Charlie Gill at jjmanning.com. With over 16,000 sales and satisfied clients, you can be the next one. Call them today at 1-800-521-0111. That's 1-800-521-0111, or go to jjmanning.com and get your property sold. We'll be back on the other side. We'll open up the phone lines, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. Grace Curley. She's the cool kid at the lunch table.
I want a hamburger. No, a cheeseburger. I want a hot dog. I want a milkshake. I want potato
You'll chips. Get nothing and like it.
This is the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I hope you guys enjoyed that last interview with James Ingargiola, a 95-year-old vet who beat COVID and lung cancer and skin cancer. Truly a remarkable guy. Now, let's talk a little bit here about the poll question, because there's a reason for this poll question. I've been getting asked a lot about Ron DeSantis. I wrote a piece about him recently where I talked about how I like the fact that Ron DeSantis is not afraid to be hated. If you were to say to me, Grace, what's the number one thing a politician has to have for you to like them or for you to vote for them? You have to be okay with the media hating your guts. If the media hates your guts, 9 times out of 10, you're doing something right. If you're not getting pieces written about you in the Washington Post about strange new respect, you're probably doing something right. Today's poll question is brought to you by Covfefe Coffee, making coffee great again. From the MAGA dark roast to their Drain the Swamp medium roast, Covfefe Coffee has it all. To order today, go to doyoucovfefe.com. Holding it up here, it's Covfefe. And it's so, so good. It smells amazing. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
If you had to choose between them, who would you vote for? Donald Trump or Ron DeSantis?
I'm sticking with Donald Trump. I mean, it's the least we can do. The guy really just, he went through it for those 4 years. So if he decides to run again, my loyalty lies with Trump. But I hope we don't end up in a situation where we have to choose.
67% of the audience agrees they would vote for Donald Trump over Ron DeSantis if they had to choose.
I think we'll all always have a respect and an admiration for someone who didn't have to do it, who didn't have to run, who didn't have to be president, who didn't have to, you know, get involved in the swamp, but chose to do it anyway. And every time Trump says, they don't hate me, they hate you, it's becoming so obvious that he was absolutely right. And here's another reason I think it's becoming obvious, because for a long time we were told the obvious, you know, Trump's a racist. That's obviously not true. He was getting awards with like Rosa Parks before he became president. But we were also told that a lot of it was personality, you know. He's just so crass. His tweets are so mean. He's a womanizer. He's just, ugh, you know, and they didn't like that. So that was kind of their excuse for everything, why he was so repulsive to them. And then when I see the media attacking Ron DeSantis, who's a pretty run-of-the-mill average, like, regular guy. He's not up at 3 a.m. tweeting about Stormy Daniels. They hate him, too. They hate him not because he's mean and not because he's flashy or he's braggadocio. They hate him because he represents the common sense that threatens their narrative. He represents the easy right decisions that they hate. It's interesting. We'll see what happens. Let's go to Nick. You're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Nick.
How you doing, Grace? And first of all, I want to wish a Semper Fi, brother, to James. That was a really nice piece of radio, and I hope to hear him again in the future. So Semper Fi, brother.
Thank you, Nick.
With the Minnesota shooting, Grace, this will probably be another settlement, I'm sure, when the dust clears. George Floyd, what, $24 million plus, whatever. If you remember, there was a cop one time, Native American slash Asian, I believe, Geronimo Yanez, I believe his name was. He shot and killed a fellow by the name of Philando Castile in a similar situation to the thing yesterday there. Fella said he had a gun. He said, okay, fine, leave it alone. And there was a misunderstanding there, whatever, and the cop shot him. So don't know whose fault that really was, except when it comes to critical race theory training, I'll tell you what a lot of these people need, black, white, whatever, you need training to how to react and deal with being pulled over by the police.
I think there's both. I think people need to definitely learn the proper way to handle being pulled over. But I also think the cops need to know the difference between tasers and guns. I think most cops do. I'm not saying they don't, but that's definitely part of the argument as well. We'll be back on the other side. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome, everyone, back to the Grace Curley Show, especially to WUVR, WNTK, and WHMP. Welcome aboard. The ship is sailing. And we are rolling right into our next news story here. a lot to talk about, but I did want to mention this story about the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So the federal government is calling for a pause in use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine after six cases of a blood clotting disorder, a major setback for the national vaccination campaign. Nate Silver responded, six cases out of 7 million people. What a disaster. This is going to get people killed, and it's going to create more vaccine hesitancy. These people don't understand cost-benefit analysis. They keep making mistakes by orders of magnitude. Mark Thiessen said, six cases, not 6,000, not 600, not 60. Six cases out of more than 4 million shots delivered. Our public health experts continue to fail us. And I think that probably the best statement came from Trump himself. He said the Biden administration did a terrible disservice to people throughout the world by allowing the FDA and CDC to call a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson COVID-19 vaccine. The results of this vaccine have been extraordinary, but now its reputation will be permanently damaged. He goes on to wonder if Pfizer has something to do with it, because the FDA has a love of Pfizer, according to Donald Trump. And I have to say, it's pretty ironic that they're so worried about white conservative communities making people or having lacking confidence in the vaccine. And meanwhile, our experts are doing this. It's kind of ironic. And then also CDC Director Rochelle Walensky, keep in mind, she was the woman who was predicting impending doom just a few days ago. Now she's saying that we can't. I think she was she talking about Minnesota or Michigan? Michigan. She was saying they can't vaccinate their way out of this. Let's play that one more time. This is cut two, Jared.
The answer to that is to really close things down, to go back to our basics, to go back to where we were last spring, last summer, and to shut things down, to flatten the curve. But really what we need to do in those situations is shut things down. I think if we tried to vaccinate our way out of what is happening in Michigan, we would be disappointed that it took so long for the vaccine to work.
And if you think that's the nuttiest thing, Charlie Baker's weighing in. Okay, I know we have a good amount of listeners here who aren't in Massachusetts, but first of all, I'm jealous. And second of all, our governor is insane. Listen to what he had to say about the outdoor mask mandate, cut seven.
Well, we follow the data pretty closely, and as you all know, the data tends to be a little unpredictable. So I'm hesitant to give a date on something like as significant as changing some of our fundamental rules and guidelines that I believe have made a big positive difference here in Massachusetts.
Also, listen to Psaki talking about masks, White House officials. I find this question interesting because you'll notice Jen Psaki does not wear a mask when she's at the podium. She never has. And yet Kamala Harris wears a mask when she's on Air Force Two, pretty much alone, and she's fully vaccinated. So there doesn't seem to be a consensus about what their optic situation is as far as mask wearing. Let's do cut five.
How do you strike that balance between being a model of the public health guidelines and also not contributing to this sense of hopelessness, perhaps, among people who are skeptical of the vaccine and maybe feel like getting it would not make a difference in their lives anyway?
Sure. Yeah, I think a big part of what we're trying to do is provide accurate information about what getting a vaccine will enable the American people to do. Hence, the president gave a primetime address where he said, when the vaccine's accessible to you and you get it, we can work towards having backyard barbecues. We've also had a number of officials out there to convey, and we've had, obviously, the CDC has put out guidance that says, if you're vaccinated, if your neighbors are vaccinated, you can have dinner inside together. It's a pandemic. We don't think it's easy.
Oh.
We know it's difficult. It's required a lot of sacrifice.
Thank
but at
you.
The same time, we're trying to provide accurate public health-based guidance on what people can do once they have taken the vaccine.
Make it stop.
Suck it to me, baby.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much. I don't know what to say. Thank you so much for letting us have outdoor barbecues. And maybe indoor dinners with our family. Most of us have been doing that for the last year. Do they understand that? Do they really think that everybody is like Lin-Manuel Miranda, who said he hadn't left his house since yesterday? Most of us had to be out and about, Jen. Most of us have had pretty historic days of our own since this thing started. You know, Biden, he didn't have to wear his mask during inauguration because that was a historic day. Well, guess what? I've had like 300 historic days over the past year or two where I've just gone mask-free.
I think your upcoming nuptials count as a historic day for you. So, you know what? Don't worry about anything. Just roll with it.
Well, Jared, that would be really sweet and that would be really wonderful. But Charlie Baker isn't sure. There's another cut here where Charlie Baker says he's not sure about the variants. Let's play cut 8.
I think a lot of this is going to depend on both guidance we get from the feds, how fast we are able to vaccinate people, and how big a deal these variants are in not just here in Massachusetts and in the Northeast, but around the country generally.
I think, honestly, this is just my expert opinion. All of this depends on how much people are willing to put up with this. All of this depends on when people finally say, nope, no more. This is insane. We are being told what to do by a bunch of dopes. And until people take the mask off and say, we're done, they're going to continue this. And it really, I know I say this every day, but like it makes me sick. Then now it's, oh, we're not sure. It really depends on the variants and the masks and the numbers and the surge and the cases dropping and the percentages. No, it doesn't. It just depends whether or not people buy into your BS anymore. And I don't think they are. I talked to somebody today. She's in the medical world and she said they're even over it. They're like, listen, we don't need any more direction from the CDC. We're good. Let us do our jobs. You do your job, whatever that is.
And I don't want to feed into any conspiracies, but it is going to be harder because if the key is everybody has to be vaccinated and the world has to be vaccinated before anything can get back to normal, the decision to stop a vaccine from being distributed over a statistical anomaly, the cynic in me, if I were cynical, would see that as maybe they see this is coming to an end and they got to try to keep it going somehow.
Yeah.
So cut off the hope for people.
Yep.
Just cut their hope.
I feel the same exact way.
Again, if I were cynical, I would think that way.
And that's the crazy thing about Jared. He's not cynical at all.
Ever.
He's a glass half full kind of guy. That's sarcasm, by the way. Let's do a little bit here, Jared. You know what time it is. I don't know if you even knew we were going to do this today. I have a little bit of journalism in the news.
And now, news.
Very fake news.
I see a lot of excellent journalism being done.
Give me the press.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
How can you ask a question when you don't know the press?
He said that journalists make up stories and make up sources.
As a journalist, I don't really like being the story here.
Very fake news.
And many of your compatriots had to change the reporting and they had to apologize and they had to correct.
This is a golden age of journalism in a lot of ways.
Mr. Biden, Mr. Biden, what flavor did you get? News.
All righty. This is a good one. This is a really good one. It's not sound. It doesn't come from Brian Stelter. We took the day off from the Stelter. And this is actually from the Washington Post, where democracy died in darkness a long, long time ago. All right, so you guys, you know that Kamala Harris was in Chicago recently getting a snack slash helping boost confidence in the vaccines, which according to all the reports that are out today with Johnson & Johnson, any sort of progress she made with boosting confidence has probably now declined. But that's okay. And a reporter asked Jen Psaki about it, and basically said, well, she's put in charge of the border where there is a massive, colossal crisis. Why hasn't she, you know, gone there or maybe taken a question or two on it? And Jen Psaki and the person, I think it was a reporter from the New York Post, he said she was in Chicago at a bakery. And Jen Psaki's response was, well, you know, she got a snack, which every American has the right to do. Or whatever, you know, it was condescending and very Jen Psaki. Well, now I don't want you guys to think that our vice president isn't working for us around the clock. Vice President Harris is making her mark on the Washington area crochet scene. When Vice President Harris visited a woman-owned yarn shop in Alexandria last month, she mentioned a little-known fact about herself that left the fiber arts community a bit giddy. The new vice president is a crocheter. I'm going to skip around here so people don't, you know, completely give up on life and shut off the radio. At the shop, Harris found out about a special hand-dyed yarn named in her honor from Neighborhood Fiber Company, a woman-owned Baltimore-based business. 5 days later, on International Women's Day, a crocheted mural of Harris's likeness and the words, "I'm speaking," was installed at the wharf. And with all the Googling of Kamala Harris and crochet, there was a spike at craftyiscool.com of online sales for a pattern to crochet a Harris doll in the Japanese style of amigurumi. I'm going to skip down a little bit here.
Please.
And the association of Harris with crocheting is huge. Knowing that the vice president is a crocheter gives me street cred, said Hoffman, who sells patterns for Amanda Gorman and Bernie Sanders dolls, among others. Now I can say that I know I'm doing what Kamala Harris does. I didn't know she crocheted, said another woman. What, Jared looks angry. No, go ahead.
I never want to hear somebody complain about a Trump flag or a MAGA hat or a proud to be deplorable Howie Carr t-shirt ever again if you're talking about how you have a crocheted doll of Kamala Harris.
Well, can I tell you a little bit about the color of the yarn?
Please do.
The deep burgundy color was inspired by an illustration by Collins' friend Ashley Johnson of Harris in a navy blue pantsuit in front of an American flag. In my mind, I was creating a color that would look good on Vice President Harris in that outfit and be evocative of the flag without being too literal. I was watching. Okay, yeah, I think we're good. But yeah, that is your hard-hitting journalism. Not they never said one thing positive about Melania Trump, about Kayleigh McEnany, about Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And now the vice president, who is overseeing one of the biggest messes our border has ever seen, is at a yarn shop, and the Washington Post is writing not short puff pieces, long puff pieces about how about how great it is that she's hanging out with the crochet club.
Can that crochet mural put that gap in the wall? Just put it over that? Because they're talking about shoring up the gaps.
Well, I just... we might have to run a contest. Like, what?
Remember when Donald Trump was Satan because he took his steak well done?
And he ate it with ketchup.
And he ate it with... Well, okay. There's some validity to eating steak with ketchup. But...
I don't care how people eat their steak. At least he wasn't visiting yarn shops instead of doing his job. Oh my gosh. I don't know. And I see you guys on the lines. We will take your calls. 844-500-4242. Also have an update from that really snarky. I was called snarky yesterday in the New York Post. Very proud of that. So I feel like I can use that word against other people now. That really snarky high school teacher from California. We have an update. And it's a nice update. It's a feel-good update. Except unless you're the teacher, and then you might be kind of bummed out. And also, there is a really, on a serious note, there's an awesome piece. You guys know I love Substack. There's a great piece from this teacher from Grace Church High School in Manhattan. It's a really ritzy, fancy high school. And this will blow your mind. I might save it for the 2 o'clock hour, depending on how much you guys want to talk about yarn. But we'll see. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. Jared Diglio is rather scratchy and grumpy, and his eyes are all watery, and he talks about his allergies a lot.
Yeah, this morning was a rough one when I walked outside. Inside, I'm fine because I have the Eden Pure Thunderstorm, which is a small device that you can plug into the wall. It doesn't require filters. There are no long cords. It's about the size of a computer charger. You plug it in, set the dial to your desired specifications, and it actually cleans and ionizes the air, getting rid of the allergens that are in there. So when I'm inside, I can breathe fine. But when I walked outside, the pollen, oh man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. But the cool thing is I can actually, if I want to, and I may do this, take it out of the house, put it in my car through the charging port there, and I can run it in my car. So my car, while I'm driving to work, I can be allergy-free everywhere.
And if you don't have allergies, not to rub it in, Jared, I don't really get bad allergies, but it works great for pet smells, kitchen smells, musty basements, all that good stuff. And right now, you can get the Thunderstorm at the lowest price available. Just use code word GRACE and you will save an additional $10 off the sale price and get free shipping. Go to EdenPure.com, click on the radio banner, and put in code word GRACE at checkout. That's EdenPure.com, radio banner, and code word GRACE. With the EdenPure Thunderstorm, your problem rooms will no longer be a problem. We'll be back on the other side with a few of your calls. Do not go anywhere. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. Start the afternoon up right.
Now what? Now comes the girl. Here she is. This is just the best part of my day.
It's Grace Curley.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you so much to everyone who's tuning in. I've received a lot of messages about people who really enjoyed our interview with James Ngargiola. We appreciated him coming on. And if you want to share it with people, it's at our Grace Curley Show website. That's gracecurleyshow.com. Jared, you have a quick news update for us?
Yes. Officer Kim Potter, who was in the Brooklyn Center Police, who shot Dante Wright, has resigned, as has the Brooklyn Center, Minnesota Police Chief Tim Gannon. He has also resigned. You remember him in the clip we played earlier, who called the riot a riot and was corrected by the activist news media.
Yes. All right. Now let's go to a call or two here. Bruce, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Bruce.
Hi, Grace. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Of course.
So, you know, what nobody seems to be talking about is this guy gets pulled over because his car license plates are out of date. And there's a warrant for his arrest. They try and arrest him. He resists arrest. If he doesn't resist arrest, he's alive right now. And no one's talking about that.
No, and I do understand that. I think that when you are pulled over, there's definitely a protocol that you have to go by. I mean, a lot of people are taught that since they're little. I know I was taught that. You keep your hands on the wheel. You do exactly what the cop tells you to do. But at the same time, this police officer, Kim Potter, said she thought she was reaching for a taser and she reached for her gun. That sounds like really incompetent. And I don't think he can excuse that either. But I do appreciate the call, Bruce. And I understand where you're coming from. Tom, quickly, you're next with Grace. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah. About 10 years ago in San Francisco, a similar thing happened with a San Francisco cop in a subway where a suspect was on the ground resisting arrest. He pulled out what he thought was his taser and then fired one shot. And
well, I've seen other situations like this where the guy was white and this similar situation happened, but you know, obviously then it wasn't called racism. We'll be back on the other side, guys. I got a really interesting piece to read you from Substack, and then we have Jared Diglio for Producer's Picks.